Oh, whoa, okay. Took a second to get there. You guys there?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're oh wow. That's a little sketch.
Hey,
Okay.
we're having server issues.
Oh gosh, okay. Hello and welcome to the Brothers Geek Podcast. My name is Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Good morning.
Morning. And Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Good morning. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. It is Sunday, November 29th. We're episode number 153. We are talking Mandalorian. This is the Mandalorian one-shots. Spoilers abound. This is the biggest spoiler episode ever, so if you're worried about spoilers, don't listen to this episode or
Go watch the episode
go
right
watch the
now.
episode first. Yes,
Yeah.
we're going to be spoiling a big reveal of the
Huge
Mandalorian.
reveal.
Huge, pretty big reveal and other maybe a few reveals. So don't go listen, go watch it and then come back. You've been warned. So the Mandalorian, chapter 13, The Jedi. First Jedi in the series, Ahsoka Tano. Now I want to give a little bit of backstory because Hannah is watching the show with me and I would say she's level two, maybe, she's becoming level two. She was a level one
Yes,
when I met her.
some backstory would be good for
Back,
those
yeah.
listeners. We
all the little stories they tell or
Yeah, you're right.
trilogies
Oh, yeah.
in and of the larger series. But Ahsoka Tano, you're right, Patrick. She's the Padawan of
How
Anakin
old do you think she
Skywalker.
is? She's like
She's like
early teens.
fourteen or
Yeah.
15
Yeah,
when she first appears. She is
totally.
a
That's good.
human
That's
in
good for a
human
timeline.
human
So
age human age term.
In
She's
our
16.
understanding, she is a teenager in terms of her species maturation. She is a teenager. She is a very talented young Padawan, and she is paired with Anakin because he is a very, very talented Jedi Knight, and he is leading troops in the Clone Wars, and he is winning victories, but he lacks maturity. Is kind of the feeling about Anakin. So by giving him a Padawan at the beginning of the Clone Wars, they, the Jedi Council, the Masters, feel that
He's impulsive,
yes,
aggressive, risky.
exactly.
Yep.
Always
So by
thought I always thought, what are they going to do with this character? Because we hadn't seen this character before. Like when Anakin becomes Darth Vader, like what does that mean? And I was like, does he have to kill? Is she one of the ones that like Vader has to kill?
Oh
Is
yeah,
there
no,
going to be a conflict between them? Like,
the original Clone Wars kind of like was mid 2000s, maybe a little earlier than that even. And the chatter among the fandom at the time was Ahsoka Tano. A, they kind of, in true kind of toxic fanboy, some of the fandom rejected her immediately because she was a young, annoying teenage girl, they felt. And the other side of the fandom was concerned that she was basically being used just as a vehicle to advance Anakin's storyline. Eventually, either she would die or he would kill her, and that would move him closer to being Darth Vader. So that
So
was
let's
the
go even
two.
more let's go even more cynical. She was just there to sell more toys, guys. Come on.
Yeah, I
Like
mean that's another narrative
No,
surrounding her.
I'm just kidding. Like you can go
No,
so
you're
far with
absolutely right.
right, you can
But
go so
the
far
reality
with
is,
this. It's like who cares? She's just a new character. Like
to bring it all the way back to this episode, she's a creation of Dave Filoni, who wrote and directed this episode of The Mandalorian. And through the course of the Clone Wars and the Rebels series that was on Disney, she has become a fan favorite in the Star Wars universe. She has matured.
I think that she is probably like her story is so interesting in the Star Wars universe, and she's always like a side character. She's always like a backup character, and she is like one of the most interesting Jedi
Oh,
in the universe. Like
eventually, you guys will see, she has her own things going on during the Clone Wars series. By the end of the Clone Wars, she is a fully realized character with her own arc. She's not just a sidekick. And I'm not going to spoilerize
I'll
anything, everything, but
watch
No,
yeah, we're
don't
not
spoiler.
spoiling the Clone Wars right now, but like something, I know that something happens with her that she like kind of, that's why she has the two white lightsabers, is she's kind of rejected the Jedi Order by the end of it.
She is not part of the Jedi Order.
Yes.
By the end of the series. Right. That's not a spoiler by telling you everything, anything, because.
Yeah. We don't know.
But she does not, she is not part of the Jedi Order. And it's not because the Jedi Order has been extinguished.
Can I speak to something inside baseball for a second? Not that this hasn't been already, but. Like, when you have two lightsabers, you don't use the Force as much. Like, you need that hand for, like, to pull. Because if she was fighting that one lady at the end, if she just, like, threw her against the building with her Force powers, like, the other lady doesn't have the Force, the fight's over. Like, but because you have two lightsabers, you're not using the Force as much. You know what I'm saying? Like, she could be throwing dudes around. I don't know. I think that you need one hand free to do Jedi sorcery.
I had that same thought. It's funny you should say that. We are definitely on the same page on that, because two lightsabers inhibits all the tools that are at the Jedi's disposal.
Yeah. It's
cool looking, but it limits your effectiveness in a fight.
Yes.
Because you can use the Force with your other hand. I guess that just is channeling the Force, right?
Gestures.
But
it's a direction of the
yeah. It's like bending. Think about it in universe.
Right.
She doesn't have that hand free to wield the Force.
Yeah.
Is a limit. You are limited, because I had that exact same thought when she was reduced to one. In this episode, when one lightsaber goes into the water, it's like, all right, you're freed up. Go, just throw her against the wall. Grab her. Choke her out. Or, you know, I had that exact thought.
The idea of, like, two Jedis fighting each other is, like, A, they both have lightsabers, so they're equally matched in that way. But, like, they're resisting each other through the Force. You know, push each other, because I can push you back. You know,
I imagine they have a bubble of Force around.
Yeah, a bubble of Force that they're just constantly channeling. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I don't know. That's just like a little bit like our. You know, this is. Let me just say this straight up. This is the best episode of The Mandalorian.
I agree that
this is so entertaining and beautiful. And cool looking and fun, and Ahsoka is
lots
awesome.
Of story, lots of reveal.
Like, we went from the worst episode in The Mandalorian to the best episode.
Yeah, like, and this one like tees up so much that much that's going to happen.
So cool,
or be revealed. It's great, great.
Yeah. Not to mention, we find out Baby Yoda's name, Grogu. How do you guys feel about Grogu?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, like...
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. I like the fact that... I mean, there's still a lot to learn about him. How did he escape the temple? Why does he have this darkness?
The floor for names is already set in the Star Wars universe of Dooku. And so anything is
or
better
or
than
his
that,
or
right?
his Sith title, Darth Tyrannus, because that's not like right
that's
on
only
the nose.
Set one. Yeah.
Yeah, you know...
I mean,
Darth Sidious. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Darth Maul. I mean,
do
you have to be?
You definitely like touched on something that I'm very curious about, Andrew. Like, who helped him escape the Jedi Temple? Are we going to find out that? Is there going to be like some cool backstory of like another like Clone Wars person? Did showing him helping him escape the temple, is that going to bleed into the Obi-Wan Kenobi TV show?
Even more important question is that how can there not be an Ahsoka Tano show?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
guys, I'm going to say this right now, and I haven't finished my watch of Rebels. Ahsoka Tano's in Rebels, and Ahsoka Tano, Rebels, she is a main part of the early Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
So Rebels kind of becomes the Ahsoka Tano show for a little while. We learn a lot about her. We learn
of Rebels before that happened.
I exactly. So did I. But I've done it. I've endeavored to complete a rewatch. I let it fall off a couple months ago, and I haven't picked it back up. But I will, just because But Ahsoka Tano, Dave Filoni as her creator, has been kind of anything that he's involved in, he brings Ahsoka into it. So
I think they need to do that. I think they need to make an Ahsoka Tano limited series or something.
Yeah, I think six episodes of Rosario Dawson trying to track down. I mean, the other big reveal from this episode is we learn a bit about Baby Yoda and his backstory.
She's on a mission.
Ahsoka Tano is on a mission. She is pursuing Grand Admiral Thrawn. He's mentioned once in this episode by name. That ties directly into what happens in Rebels, because Thrawn appears in Rebels. Because
backstory on Thrawn, Andrew,
in this universe.
Yeah.
He first appears in the Legends universe.
Yeah, and he's in the books. He's a big part of the books.
He's a tactical. If Vader is the right hand of the Emperor, Thrawn is the left hand. He is the military tactical genius of the Empire. He wins many, many, many decisive military battles that cement the Empire's dominance, essentially. Because, like we all know from just the mainline Star Wars Legends universe. Yes, the Empire is kind of created by Sidious when he's able to, eliminate the Jedi, but there's a lot of rebellions that crop up resisting the Empire's power, and Thrawn is the military leader that defeats a lot of those uprisings. He is the tactical genius of the Empire's navy. And in the Rebels story, he appears in the later seasons as the Emperor sends him to put down the rebellion, essentially, because he is that guy. He is the military leader, the military genius. And through the Rebels series,
he was like the best part of the books. That's why they kind of sucked him out of that. Cause
he's such an interesting character.
Erased all of that series and started over. But they sucked him out and plopped him into the Rebels universe.
He still has the core. I mean, his story begins after, just like in The Mandalorian, his story in the novels begins 5 years. We don't know him. Obviously, he's not brought up at all in the movie trilogies.
Mm-hmm.
He exists in the expanded universe as kind of the main villain of the new trilogy of novels that they make in the early 90s. And he is so beloved, and he is such an interesting villain that they bring him into the mainline universe with Disney as the main villain in Rebels. They take that, and that's part of what, if there's one of the many strengths, I think, of the Disney universe with Star Wars, is that they look at the expanded universe, they look at the stories that were told, and they're not just adapting those stories, they're taking interesting aspects of those stories, like the villains, like the Mandalorians and their Beskar, which was talked a lot about in the expanded universe stories, the Legends universe, and now they're bringing it into the main Disney universe. I read dozens of those. That's where my fandom really kind of comes from, is reading the expanded universe stories.
Well, and they've been talking about those hot, what are they calling those new books that Disney is calling canon, the High Republic or whatever. The
first one of those comes out first week in January.
Right. Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
We're definitely going to read that book.
100%.
That is going to be canon for the new Disney Star Wars. So everybody's got to read that if you're a fan of Star Wars.
So Thrawn has existed in many forms, but in the Rebels universe, he was sent against the band of heroes in the Rebels series. They have a huge conflict versus him. He eventually is defeated, quote unquote defeated, but he's not killed. So, in this episode, we find Ahsoka Tano trying. She's on a quest to find.
Why would she be trying to find him? Give that flavor.
Okay, well, it's the end of the Rebel series. The way they defeat him is they're essentially spoilers.
No spoilers. Okay.
They remove him from the situation. Something happens in Rebels.
Yeah.
Ahsoka Tano is still trying to find him.
Because he may have been defeated, but he was not eliminated.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay.
So that's all going on. And Ahsoka has her, the Mandalorian Din Djarin finds her on this planet. She's got her own stuff going on. and she rejects. She just says, no, I cannot train Baby Yoda. He is connected to you.
Yeah, there's definitely like he's there's a lot of themes in Star Wars of like orphans and attachment to parents and attachment to family.
She had one line where I've seen this before and it doesn't end well or something
Fully a nod to like Vader.
We know from Anakin's story, Anakin loves his mother, gets pulled from his mother.
It's It's the same kind of like the eventually Jedi, he's going to get trained and hear about Din Djarin getting murdered somewhere and have to go kill a bunch of sand people to do it. You know, it's
An original sin to the Jedi of the prequel universe is that they remove force sensitive children from their families and they raise them in this monastic life.
No attachment. It's about attachment.
Well, no, but they take them as children. As children from their families to raise them in this monastic lifestyle, to not be directly attached to anyone, to only to serve the Force and serve all life in a very broad sense. And I mean,
mainly to prevent them from going to the dark side, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's an aspect of that's the way they figured out to prevent.
That's a theory anyway.
The theory, the Jedi think that if you don't have attachment, then you cannot be led to the dark side. Your focus will be pure. You won't
They talk about love as being this thing that can lead you, because love makes
it's
you
Buddhist. It's very it's based on Buddhism.
Very Buddhist. Right. Yes.
100%. Yeah.
Connections. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't have any connections, because if you're not tempted to go save somebody or to go
attachment
help someone,
leads to suffering.
That's exactly. Right. Yeah. There was tidbits of interesting stuff in the prequels. Like, they aren't just whole hog trash, but they're they have some interesting ideas for that parts of the Force and Jedis and what the Jedi Order used to be. But Luke was much older when he finally got trained. They had to train him, but he got all kinds of screwed up because of this. I mean, his life is totally messed up because he had to go attack his father, you know, face the Empire by himself, you know, after getting training for a couple of years. So, and even in the books, Luke turns to the dark side eventually, right? That's not canon, but
there's a very cynical theory that Obi-Wan and Yoda kind of agree or understand that they can't defeat the Emperor and Vader themselves, so they have to basically form Luke into a weapon. Yeah. But the other side of that theory is because that Vader can be redeemed because he loves his son.
Right.
And by sending his son to him,
right,
Vader will redeem himself, saving his son and defeating the Emperor. So there's two sides. There's really two arguments that are made.
I love that idea that they know that Vader loves Padme and loves his family and won't kill Luke.
This is why Rian Johnson is a genius, because The Last Jedi speaks to all of this shit that the Jedi were wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And that's 100%. The genius of that movie is, and we've talked about this on the podcast. He didn't go far enough, in my view, Rian Johnson did, but the themes in that movie were exactly what we were talking about, which is a complete rejection of the whole concept of the Jedi Order and how it has caused all of the pain in the universe because of its religious sort of fixation on lack of attachment.
Yeah.
And so that is deep shit that Johnson understood. We understand, us lowly podcasters and brothers understood, and the masses, fanboy dumbasses don't get it.
Well, and bringing it back to this
rant,
episode,
rant over.
Ahsoka has learned that through her journey as well, attachment isn't a bad thing. She's learned that. She has learned that attachment can make you stronger. She has seen the very on the nose, the dark side of that, through Anakin.
Yeah, yeah.
But she understands that pulling someone, you know, against their will in a large way from someone that they love, forcing them away from them, can have dire consequences.
Right.
That's the choice
bigger,
that she makes.
It's a much bigger challenge. Yep,
it's a much bigger challenge. So she says, he loves you. His connection is with you.
It's already too late. It's already too late.
Well, if I were to pull him away, it would be bad.
He would come find you. He'd come find you in 30 years. Yeah.
I think it's more, hey, I've got shit to do. And okay. in order to undo this, I have to devote, shift my full attention to
training
Grogu.
Yeah.
And she is not ready to fully commit. I mean, she just met these people.
Yeah.
She's not ready to fully commit her life to combating and reworking that attachment. She's on a mission. She's driven by something else. And so I think why I say that is because she gave him direction. She said, take him to this place and it will call out to someone who can help him.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, so it's not a lost cause.
I think that's an interesting idea. Like, are we going to see another Jedi in this season?
I think it's very likely.
It's very likely that they go to this planet. They go to the top of this hill.
Yes.
I would like to comment on a couple things. Bo-Katan is also in the Clone Wars, also the Rebels, and then we see her in live action here. So there are definitely overlaps to those two shows.
So what was your
Bo-Katan meet each other in those, and so that's where the backstory of what was your question, Christopher?
I was gonna say, just unrelated to our current discussion, because it just popped into my head, what was your immediate reaction to the appearance of a Beskar spear?
Cool.
That was very cool. And my
immediate reaction is the Mandalorian is going to use that to fight the Darksaber, dude.
There will be
a fight between Moff Gideon and Mando, and Mando will have the Beskar sword.
I mean, that's just got to happen.
That was my immediate thought, they are going to fight.
I love it.
100%.
100%. That's definitely.
There's no other reason to introduce that.
That's what's gonna happen. He's gonna defeat Moff Gideon. He's gonna get the Darksaber, and then he's got to go find Bo-Katan and give her the saber back, because he knows
if she's not there. My guess is she'll be there.
That's gonna be the new quest. Oh yeah, she'll be there. Maybe.
Yeah.
So I would like to say that this season, the best episodes of this season, I feel have been touches on the bigger universe. Bo-Katan is on her quest doing other stuff to get back Mandalorian. Ahsoka Tano is on her quest to find Grand Admiral Thrawn. We didn't get any of that for the first season. It was just sort of Boba Fett. We find Boba Fett's armor. Boba Fett is alive, but we don't know what the hell he's doing. You know, there's been every episode, it's Mando is on his mission.
It's not confirmed that Boba Fett's alive.
Right. It's implied. It's implied
there's
that
a
that's
suggestion,
Boba Fett.
Right.
It's a, yeah, it's implied that that's Boba Fett. I'm guessing.
Inferring.
I'm inferring that it's Boba Fett.
But still, it's this larger universe, this larger Star Wars universe that they're definitely steering into this season, which the first season, I feel it was definitely okay, he's going to Tatooine. Okay. He's, he's fighting Jawas,
They Filoni and
that's happened to Star Wars. Filoni, he is the biggest Star Wars nerd. He knows all the things and they all come to him. Dave, what is thing? Explain this to me. He knows the bigger universe more than all of them. They're all just hired gun directors.
Which I don't mind. I like that aspect of the first season. I think that they did that. I don't have an overarching theory as to why they did that. If there was even, Jon Favreau might have been just I want to give some interesting directors the opportunity to direct TV shows set in the Star Wars universe. Looking back though on season one, we had some criticism for the episode that Dave Filoni wrote and directed himself.
Which one was that?
It was the episode where they go back to Tatooine and he partners up with that young, you know, shady bounty hunter to track down this assassin. It felt, I mean, we said it, it felt very fan servicey.
Yeah.
To the point where they might have been sacrificing other things because they wanted fans to be like, oh, I know that reference. Oh, it felt, I mean,
which is fine.
You can do fan service.
And I felt there wasn't enough like Star Wars touches for it to be straight up fan service. Like,
I don't disagree. We can make that criticism of Dave Filoni in some instances where he is such a fan and he loves Star Wars so much, but he definitely thinks deeply about these stories.
Yeah. He gets like, These two guys get it. Like, what makes a good Star Wars?
But they are still with the Mandalorian, still pulling in, just respecting kind of Lucas's original vision. He may not have been a talented enough filmmaker to pull it all off, but being inspired by samurai cinema, Western cinema, this, like other episodes of the Mandalorian and other episodes of Clone Wars, has a very samurai cinema, martial arts kind of vibe to it, you know, kung fu kind of story to
it. The garden scene,
Kill Bill. I said out loud, okay, that's a Kill Bill,
which is a direct reference to,
I know,
you
right?
know, samurai. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so no. I mean, that is imbued into the DNA of the show as well, which is a lot of fun. And I think part of why
familiar with like Japanese,
the fandom has, because Chinese, it's self-referential, but it's still done so well. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a great fight between those two. And it has that, you know, samurai film feel to it, which the kind of larger aspect of it, that's the early kind of space adventure serials that Lucas loved, and samurai film like Akira Kurosawa stuff.
Well, we've talked about this before on the podcast, probably a long time ago, but like Mandalorian is Lone Wolf and Cub. Like,
100%.
It is a samurai who finds a orphan who a Ronin rather a lost samurai who is
masterless samurai.
Masterless samurai that just like starts wandering and gets on these fun adventures with this baby in tow. That's the Mandalorian. That is the Mandalorian.
And also that's why the fandom, I think, is some of the fandom has responded so much to Ahsoka Tano, because there's a through line of the gray Jedi. And we've discussed it multiple times on this podcast, and it doesn't exist in any Star Wars canon literature or anything. The idea of the gray Jedi that grew out of the fandom.
There isn't a
quote unquote gray Jedi in any of the books or games or anything like that. Somebody called a gray Jedi. There are force wielders that don't necessarily strictly adhere to the dark side or the Jedi Order ways of using the force. But there are other force wielders.
I think they should have their own name. I don't like the name gray Jedi. I think this blanket term. I think, like we talked about this when we were talking about the movies too, is like Skywalker being the last Jedi. Like, we were hoping that Rey would be something else, like a different order of, like, I think Jedi is like that one sect of force wielders, and this is their doctrine, this is their way, and there's other force wielders that are different, and I think they're just afraid to name it. Like, they're like,
I agree.
Worried they're going to confuse people.
Well, there's the dark sisters of Dathomir. There's other force wielders that exist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And those are in the
I mean, and we've talked about it.
What is that? What is that game that I played? The something force.
I don't know.
It's really fun.
Anyway, but we talked about it a couple episodes ago about the Mando learning that there are other kind of Mandalorians. And kind of breaking out of his religious indoctrination, we have expressed a desire and a hope that the idea of use of the force could be expanded just beyond dark side and light side wielders. Like, it's not binary. And Ahsoka Tano has kind of been that image for a lot of the fandom of, she is not strictly a Jedi, but she's not a dark side user. but she is not, she doesn't even identify herself as a Jedi anymore. But mm-hmm. she's still
not an inherent.
No, she's not. She is not a strict doctrinal right. Jedi.
Yeah.
Which
is part of the reason
is
why
a larger theme.
White lightsabers, yeah.
Is a larger theme in if like examining kind of the failures of the Jedi, adhering too closely to doctrine is what part of what brought the Jedi Order down.
Mm-hmm.
Is what mm-hmm. Sidious was able to exploit. So,
well, an expansion of that idea. Spreading yourself too thin, too. It's like I think the Jedi like built themselves up like really big, and then they missed. They missed.
Well, yeah,
like,
it was part of they lost sight of their truest mission. To serve the people. So,
right.
yeah. But I agree with you. Sort of bring it all the way back. This is the best episode of the series by far.
Totally.
So far.
So I want to talk about two moments that I thought were my favorite two moments, and they're small. One, Mandalorian is trying to get Grogu to lift the little knob off his hand, and he says, "Grogu," and he says it in like this authoritative way, and like Baby Yoda goes, "Huh?" Like. And we both, like, Hannah and I both laughed out loud and then rewound and watched it again because his little, like, laugh out loud. Two, there's this moment when you think Ahsoka Tano is going to take Grogu away from the Mando, Din Djarin, and he's just sitting there with him, like, looking at him. And it's this, like, wide shot, and it's so, like, they sit on it for a second. And it's just like this oh shit, this could be it, you know, moment. Like he could give him up. And I thought it was just like the heart that was missing from the last episode, like chapter 12. This one had heart to it. This one like touched on that. It was just like he's about to say goodbye to him. But like they said it without saying a damn word. Silence.
Yeah, definitely had they refocused on the fact that this is a loving familial relationship.
Yes, like, yes.
The Mando is his father, essentially, mm-hmm. in Grogu's mind. And Grogu is the Mando's son. Like, he loves him. He wants to protect him and make sure that he's safe and do what's best for him. And
that's
I think
great.
It,
that's so great.
I mean, he connects with him on the level of, I was a foundling saved by the Mandalorian Order. Mm-hmm. So is this young thing, he needs protection.
Well,
I'm going to do that.
I mean, think about his life, and I mean, he's raised to be a Mandalorian, and it seems like a very like kind of a cold, disconnected people. I'm sure they weren't like coddling him very much.
Oh yeah,
and like he like having a family, having someone to take care of, he doesn't really have. He doesn't really have that in his life. And so, like, now he's...
Well, you don't even see each other's faces. Once you put on the helmet, you don't take it off in front of anyone, even other Mandalorians.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It is. It's really interesting. And, I mean, we've talked to no end about the extended universe because this show is brilliant. It's touching on all the bigger stories, bigger Star Wars that we love, obviously. Anything else you guys want to touch on? I have one more thing to talk about before we do trivia.
Good. I think we've covered everything we need to.
Yeah. I continue the geekification of Hannah, and we watched Die Hard. She hadn't seen Die Hard, guys. What are the two lines from Die Hard that she already knew? Sorry to steal your. I'm trying not to. Uh oh, is Chris gone?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
The yippee-ki-yay motherfucker.
Yep, she knew that one. Good.
And welcome to the party, pal.
You called it.
What's up?
She already knew those. The one that she didn't know, but she loves, her favorite line of the movie. Do you know that?
Come out to the coast. We'll get together. We'll have a few laughs.
I mean, that's pretty good too. That's number two, but not her favorite line.
Okay.
Good call. She liked that one too. But the first one that she really loved was Hans Booby.
I'm your white knight.
I'm your white knight.
Yeah.
Ellis. Before he gets his ass blown away.
Coked out Ellis.
Yeah. she
Christmas movie, to... by the way. Christmas movie.
That's why we watched it.
It's not a fucking Christmas
Never
movie.
Never forget it's a Christmas movie.
Never forget it's a Christmas
not
movie.
Not a fucking Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie.
We watch it after Thanksgiving because it's a Christmas movie.
Yes.
She hadn't seen it before. We were waiting till the Christmas season, and
Do you have it on Blu-ray, Patrick? Or did you?
It's on HBO Max. They have all three of them on it. The first three on HBO Max. Yeah.
Yep. I'm watching that. That's happening.
Should I show her Die Hard 2, Die Harder, and Die Hard with the Vengeance?
Yes,
I think you have to.
I think I have to. The second one's weak. Die Hard 2 is weak. Like,
Die Hard with a Vengeance is a lot of fun.
Those first three are good. Yeah,
I have to like get her through two so she can make it to three. That's
Die Hard with a Vengeance and being all over Manhattan. That's a fun adventure.
Movie.
Yeah, I like that movie a lot.
She really said that the script is so good. The first is like a perfect movie. It's like,
yeah,
and there's so many like setup and payoffs and the action's so fun and the main character is so likable. And it's like this, Hans Gruber is so, like Alan Rickman is so good in that movie. I don't know. Like seeing
no,
it through
it
someone
that's
who
why
hadn't
that's
seen
why,
it before,
that's why it holds up. That's why it's still
it
considered top five action movies ever.
Ever.
It's because
ever.
It's that good.
Yeah. Yep. I had to stifle myself a couple times from like talking through it. But
that's why it's copied to this day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Do you have any trivia for us? Is it Star Wars related?
It absolutely is Star Wars related.
Yes.
So is Legends universe related, which we've touched on. And Patrick has alluded to because we know that Thrawn originally appeared in a series of novels from the early 90s.
Uh-huh.
He is a Chiss, a member of the... which we learn later is its own kind of species and government that the Empire makes kind of Thrawn becomes the only Chiss that joins the Empire. Anyway, what is the name of the novel that he appears in? The first novel that he appears in?
Oh crap. I think I know this. Hold on. It's in the recesses. It's way back there.
Say that again.
Is the title of the novel Grand Admiral Thrawn originally appears in the expanded universe Legends universe.
No chance.
The novel directly refers to him.
As soon as you say it, I'm going to be like, shit. Hold on. Crap.
All right, got to ask for a guess.
All right. I don't have it, so...
Okay. The title of the novel is Heir to the Empire.
Written
by Timothy Zahn, who has written many books in the Star Wars universe.
Many.
He wrote...
Chris Ryan would have known that, and I'm sad.
He wrote... The trilogy that Thrawn originally appears in the Legends universe is Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and then The Last Command... is the third book in that trilogy. And it takes place 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
It is like right now.
That's when The Mandalorian is taking place.
Yeah.
The New Republic is fledgling. The Han and Leia are pregnant with twins. And Luke is trying to find out what it means to be the new Jedi. And how he's going to kind of rebuild what the Jedi were.
Yeah, there's Luke even takes the Jedi in a different like way in that story, right? Like,
I mean,
he
Luke
lets them get married, and he gets married himself.
He eventually marries and has a son.
Interesting stuff.
Yep.
Thank you, Andrew. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. Email the podcast, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek@twitter.com, brothersgeek.com, brothersgeek schmaltz on YouTube, brothersgeek do stuff on Instagram, brothersgeek podcast on Facebook. I think that's all the things.
All your socials.
All the things. Thanks for listening, guys. No, wear a mask, be a hero.
Wear a mask, be a hero.
Thank you.